Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to our bi-weekly broadcast of Money and Other Things Financial. This is your host, Bostonian, coming to you live from a wet weekend in the hub where we're experiencing a little bit of originally Hurricane Henri, and now I understand it's been dropped to become a tropical storm, and it's hitting Rhode Island, I think, harder than us, but we'll probably just get some rain and some slight wind, and hopefully not too much damage. But Hurricane Henri is the first hurricane and now tropical storm of the season up here. Temperature at airtime, 74 degrees. And, of course, the big story since the show 2 weeks ago is Afghanistan. Afghanistan, the graveyard of empires, I think they refer to it as. And we are now trying to extricate ourselves from it, and I'm going to be talking about that in a bit. But right now I want to give you the usual statistics on the coronavirus pandemic, and also I want to give you the call-in number and to let you know that the chat room is open. There's no one in there now, as usual, because of the late hour. Tomorrow is work day, too. But if you want to call in, the number is 914-803-4379. And if you do call in, please give me your first name and what state and city you're calling from. And if you're outside the country, what city and country you're calling from. Okay, well, let's see the latest on the coronavirus pandemic, because now we're hearing a lot about this new Delta variant, and it seems to be, the reports are that it's very infectious, but it doesn't seem to be as deadly as the Alpha virus, but I'm not an expert. But that's the sense I get from the little reading I've done on it. But I do want to give you the statistics. The total infected in the global scale, 212,520,272. 212,522.72, and that's up from 203,000. I'll give you rough figures here. So it's up about 9,000. The active cases worldwide is 17,957,965, and that's up from 16,400,000. The deaths, worldwide 4,443,091. And that's up from 4,305,967. Recovered, as usual, is a huge percentage, huge number, 190,119,216. And that's up from about 184 million. In the USA, the infected number is, at my recording, is at 38,540,758. And that's up from 36,500,000. The active cases are at 7,423,079. That's up from about 6 million. The number of deaths in the USA has gone up from 633,000 to 645,000, or about 12,000 more. That seems to be a bigger increase than the previous 2 weeks. So, to some extent, we could be seeing a rebound, but I don't think they really know how this virus works. They can just do the best they can with the statistics and the recommendations of social distancing, wear a mask, and get vaccinated. But they don't really know. There's all kinds of reports that indicate that the vaccinated may have to get a booster shot, or the vaccinated are getting the virus. So I think your best bet is to trust in God and use your own good common sense as to how you want to live. Don't take unnecessary risks, but if you have to do certain things, you have to do them with a sense of common sense. All right, so let's see on the number of countries that have gone over a million infections. It's now up to 34 countries, and Israel is very close to making it 35. So every show we pick up a few more countries that are over a million, and as they say, the total infected is 212 million. So every country is affected somewhat. Rand Paul has an interesting post. I got an email from him, and I'd like to read that to you. Of course, you know, Rand Paul is the senator from Kentucky, and he's had some clashes with Dr. Anthony Fauci. And I got an email from him, and this is what he had to say. My fellow American, Dr. Anthony Fauci has been wrong time and time again during this COVID-19 pandemic, and we need to stop allowing him to set public policy. He was wrong about closing the schools. He was wrong about mask mandates. He was wrong about the origin of this disease. He is wrong to support eviction moratoriums. He says, I am working to ensure our rights and never take away like this again. I need your help. In the coming months, you will hear politicians explain away their unconstitutional lockdowns and mandates as following the science. Don't let them get away with that. They are scaredy cats who abdicated their responsibility. Okay, I think I've been disconnected and hopefully reconnected. So anyway, Bitcoin is approaching 50,000, but I was going to tell you about Richard Nixon. And 50 years ago on August 15th, he made this famous speech.
Of what is called devaluation. If you want to buy a foreign car or take a trip abroad, market conditions may cause your dollar to buy slightly less. But if you are among the overwhelming majority of Americans have been waging an all-out war on the American dollar, the strength of a nation's currency is based on the strength of that nation's economy. And the American economy is by far the strongest in the world. Accordingly, I have directed the Secretary of the Treasury to take the action necessary to defend the dollar against the speculators. I have directed Secretary Connally to suspend temporarily the convertibility of the dollar into gold or other reserve assets, except in amounts and conditions determined to be in the interest of monetary stability and in the best interest of the United States. Now, what is this action, which is very technical? What does it mean for you? Let me lay to rest the bugaboo of what is called devaluation. If you want to buy a foreign car or take a trip abroad, market conditions may cause your dollar to buy slightly less. But if you are among the overwhelming majority of Americans who buy American-made products in America, your dollar will be worth just as much tomorrow as it is today.
All right, well, you can get that whole speech on the Internet if you do a search for the Nixon 1971 speech removing gold as a backup to the dollar. All right, let's see. We're running out of time because of that delay, but I do want to mention that the Federal Reserve will be holding the Jackson Hole, the annual symposium, on August 26th to the 28th, 2021. And I want to mention that, and congratulations to Mark Levin, his book, best-selling book, American Marxism, has exceeded 700,000 in sales. So hopefully the word will get out that Marxism is a danger and it has been on the move in this country, and we need to stop it and do everything we can to wake our fellow Americans up. So that's about it for the live portion of the show. I'm sorry about that interruption, but these things happen, and we will have to deal with it. So we'll see you again. The next show will be on Blog Talk Radio on September the 5th. That will be the day before Labor Day, the unofficial end of summer. So God bless you all, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Good night, everyone. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bostonian with the non-live portion of the broadcast. This is 15 minutes of me talking, so there's no call-ins at this time. If you want to call in and comment about any of these issues, you'll have to wait until our next broadcast, which will be on Sunday night, September the 5th, 2021. So, right now I got a nice clip for you, some good news out of California, believe it or not. And I got it on Dr. Chaps's website, Pray in Jesus' Name, and it's a court victory, a 3-0 win in California. Three judges there. Well, you'll hear it when we play it. So here we go, Dr. Chaps, on a court win in California.
There's a surprising courtroom victory to report, and Christian Post tells us that a California court has ruled unanimously, 3-0, that Christian nurses in a nursing home don't have to use transgender pronouns when addressing their patients. Christians have free speech. They don't have to call a man a woman. Even though the California state law would try to force Christians to do this, we now have freedom to speak truth even when transgenders lie about their identity. Christian Post confirms that a California appeals court has ruled that a state law that requires nursing home staff to use transgender pronouns is actually a violation of the Christians' free speech rights to not use those pronouns. In a unanimous 3-0 decision last month from the California 3rd District Court of Appeals, state court, judges ruled against a 2017 rule that penalizes non-compliant healthcare providers who repeatedly fail to use trans-identified residents' preferred names or pronouns. Violations could have been prosecuted as misdemeanor crimes, and violators, like those Christian nurses trying to care for your grandma in the nursing home, could face up to 180 days in jail and a $2,500 fine for, quote-unquote, misgendering a confused transgender individual. In other words, calling a man when he prefers to be called a woman, now they say that we're the ones misgendering. Actually, the man is misgendering himself when he lies and says that he's a woman. Did you notice that biological sex indeed might be, quote, disrespectful, discourteous, or insulting for a Christian to use the wrong gender? However, a First Amendment does not protect only speech that is inoffensively or artfully articulates a person's point of view. At the very least, willful refusal to refer to transgender persons by their preferred pronouns conveys general disagreement with the concept that a person's gender identity may be different from the sex the person was assigned at birth. Consistent with the legislature's findings in enacting California law, section 1439.51, we conclude, says the California Appeals Court, that misgendering does indeed convey an ideological message. Therefore, it's protected. Because the pronoun provision is a content-based restriction of speech, we disagree with both the trial court and the Attorney General, liberal Democrat, who argues that the provision is merely a time, place, or manner restriction. It's more than that. Free speech law protects a wide variety of speech. A listener may find offensive, including insulting speech, based on race, national origin, or religious belief, end quote. The court further held that had the regulation been more specific by targeting intentional insults or harassment, and not including criminal penalties, it might have been upheld. And that's the news, our thanks to Christian Post for that report. So here's my analysis, right? And let's take a moment and discern the spirits. On this program, we like to try to discern the spirits behind the news, and the news involving the human actors in this story centers around this idea of compelled speech. Can a Christian be forced to use the pronouns that are assigned to a non-conforming, you know, gender dysphoric, confused person? In this story, we have California legislators, we have nurses, we have confused transgender people. Maybe they're in the nursing home. God bless them. They need good Christian care. But those are the human actors in the story. Where are the non-human spirits in the story? How do we discern, for example, the Spirit of God in the story? Or the spirit of the angels or the spirit of the demons behind the human personalities. We do that through the lens of biblical morality. And here's what I mean by that. For every human choice that is moral, we're not talking about amoral or non-moral choices. We're talking about moral choices, to choose sin or to choose holiness. For every human actor, there are spirits behind those moral impulses that are whispering to us to do the right thing, which is the voice of holiness, the voice of God, or to do the wrong thing and to choose sin, which is the voice of the devil. So let's pretend that you're a nurse in a nursing home, and you love your patients and you care about them and you pray for them, sometimes in person, sometimes just quietly at your desk, and you're praying for this transgender confused person who comes and says, he's a man, but he says, I feel like a woman today. And so, nurse, can you call me the opposite of what God made me to be? Now, the nurse in this moment is in the valley of decision. She has a choice. Should I honor God and speak truth, even though it may offend this person who wants to be called a woman? He's a man. Should I speak truth and prophesy to them that God made them uniquely to be a man? Or should I lie to them and join their delusion and join their demonic deception when they're trying to compel me to misidentify them? And that nurse, thank God, she not only said, I will stand with Christ, but she went to court over it, and she won a lawsuit on a 3-0 decision. On the other hand, this gender-confused person, maybe it's a man who feels like a woman inside, or a woman who feels like a man inside, but is that really a different person inside of them, or is that a demonic spirit inside of them that is manifesting the spirit of lying? We discern the demonic spirit. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy 3. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. We're approaching the last days, are we not? Let's pray about this. Father in heaven, we pray in Jesus' name for religious freedom. For our nurses, we thank God for this common sense decision that compelled speech may not force Christians to lie or to entertain, even if it's offensive to those who are easily offended. Father, we pray instead for a spirit of love to manifest inside our Christian doctors and nurses. Give them the liberty to minister the gospel in truth. In Catholic nursing homes, in Christian nursing homes, or even just Christians who happen to be on the job, they're serving and providing for the medical needs of those who are confused. Father, we even pray that the demonic spirits inside of the transgender community would be rebuked and exposed and cast out. We pray for real and genuine exorcisms to begin to deliver these people and give them freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, amen to that, Dr. Chaps. And that is a great story, and we need to realize that we're in a moral fight here. It's a battle between good and evil. There are demonic spirits out there, and they can wreak havoc, and they are wreaking havoc not only in our country but throughout the world. And we need to realize that what is right and stand up for it and forget about worrying about whether or not we're, as they say, politically correct. We have a conscience. It tells us the difference between right and wrong, and we need to recognize that and stop trying to appease everybody. And we have to love everybody, but we have to correct them. I think it was St. Paul that said, admonish one another, correct one another in love, not in self-righteousness or in raising ourselves up, but more in that it's good for the person that we're talking to, that we speak to them out of Christian love and correct them, as this apparent nurse did, and she had to eventually take it to court, which she should do, and a court that hopefully has common sense and has a sense of the Constitution. And remember, our country was founded on these principles. will decide, as they did even in California with a unanimous three to nothing win. So this is a wonderful news. You can turn on Dr. Chaps's website and thank him for posting that, and also you can hear the other two segments in which he interviews Matt Barber on the same case. And Matt Barber, of course, is an attorney, and it's wonderful to hear his views on it. I don't have the time to play those two additional segments, but I recommend that you go to Dr. Chaps's website, which is www.prayinjesusname.org, and you'll see all of his different videos, and hopefully you'll find this one about the headline is 3-0 win in California. It says you don't have to use predetermined pronouns, or if you get the full headline. But constitutional law expert will join him in this analysis, Matt Barber. He's wonderful to listen to. And he was associated with Liberty Counsel at one time, but now he's practicing law, I believe, on his own or more in the private area. But I know this is his first time back in this capacity, and we need to encourage him to stay, maybe do both, and continue to, I'm sure Dr. Chaps will welcome him to his broadcast as often as he can. So again, I want to apologize for the being cut off there. I don't know what happened, but I'm an amateur at this. I don't have any producers or anybody but myself, so I'm sorry for that. But I think we covered all the main points. And just remember to keep praying, and remember that God is in charge, and nothing happens without him knowing about it. And everything serves for the good of for what is God's will. So again, thank you. The next show is on September the 5th. That will be interesting because we'll have a lot more information on the Biden Afghanistan situation, and hopefully the coronavirus will be overcome. And just trust in God on that and make your own decisions, and I think everything will come out okay. So I'm signing off now with the usual, and I'll see you in 2 weeks. Good night, everyone.